Louisa, aren't you?
Aunt Louisa,
yes. And Ida.
That's right,
yes. That's right, Auntie Louisa and Auntie Ida. Yes. Or is it Louise or Louisa?
It's Louise.
Louisa, oh, that's right. Yes. Yes. I know it. I've got a lot of sense. Don't listen to her. I used to, well.
You used to know a Louise?
Well, we had an Aunt Louise because she wasn't like you. I mean, she wasn't posh, you know what I mean?
No. She wasn't posh.
Well, you know, she was different, like. Because she didn't have no education, like my mum's. It's my mum's sister, wasn't
yes,
it? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she was a proper caser. You'd have laughed at her, because she was funny.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, she's got a good sense of humour.
Yeah. Is she kind, Mickey?
Well, she's all right. Sometimes she, well, treat me, you know.
Yeah.
Christmas, perhaps, if I was lucky, she didn't forget. Oh, well, I don't want to talk about my past, because that wouldn't interest you.
It's very interesting.
I suppose you had posh educations, didn't you, and all that?
No. She went
educated. It's funny.
Oh, what a crowd of people you'd have with you this morning. That centurion's with you again.
That's
who? Well, I call him the centurion. Has no one ever told you about the Roman soldier that comes to you?
No.
Oh, well, that is an extraordinary thing. I would have thought everyone would have seen him. Because I've saw him every time you've been with me, you know that. But he never speaks. I think he just stands there like as if he's on guard, you know. He's ever such a nice looking person. He's about 6'1", I think. And he's nice looking and dark. And he's Roman. And he wears his helmet with a big red brush plume thing. And I'm told he was a Roman centurion.
How interesting. You're the
and evidently, whether you understand this, I have to tell you, whether you understand, I might get a tail on it. But evidently, whether you believe in reincarnation, I can't help that, but I'm told to tell you that centuries ago, when you were on Earth, you both lived together in ancient Rome.
Did we?
And that he was your brother. And that the time of this eruption, you were staying with relations who lived in a place called Pompeii, and that you were rescued by boat just in the nick of time.
Oh, yes.
But don't you know nothing about it?
Not a thing, Mickey.
Oh dear.
Come on.
Well, one of you was, he tells me he's funny, this man. He comes in, he's not speaking in a sense like to you. I don't think he ever will, I don't know. But he's concentrating his thought force onto me, and he says that one of you was called Octavia, and one of you is called Flavia.
Oh.
Are you interested in reincarnation?
Oh, yes, Mickey.
Have you never had any sort of feelings about ancient Rome and things?
Yes, we're very much interested. When we went there, we, you know, loved it very much. But I can't say that I had
Well, I can only tell you this because I can't prove it, but I'm told to tell you that he's conveying to me that you are both what we call old souls, and that you've had various incarnations at different periods, and that you have, in each incarnation, tried to bring realization of things beyond material to various people at the different aspects of your life, you know, different times of your lives. Evidently, you were Christians,
yes.
And it was the beginning of Christianity, you know, sort of thing.
Yes.
It was all very quiet. You had to be very careful.
Yes.
And evidently, I don't understand this, you must have been comfortably off or something, because you would sometimes go to Ostia,
yes.
And sometimes you'd go further south and you'd go down to Pompeii and you had a villa there, and there was a villa outside the city walls where certain Christians gathered, and you and your brother, although your brother wasn't converted, you two were,
yes.
And there were others of a little group.
I see.
Perhaps one day you'll get more information.
Yes. Anyway, we're very glad to have him there,
and also, at one time, you were Roman Catholic sisters in the convent.
Yes, I know that I was. I've always felt this.
One of you, Louise, is it?
Yes, Louise.
Was Mother Superior in a convent in Italy.
In
Italy? You see, you've always been caught up in, I suppose you call it religion, but deeper than that, it goes much deeper. And I think for what they tell me, that you've been brought back into life at various times with the object of serving humanity and bringing them knowledge and experience.
Try to live up to that.
We also have an ancient Egyptian incarnation that goes back before the Roman one. Actually, you attract a lot of souls who obviously were on Earth at the same time as yourselves, who were either related or connected in some way, who still sort of work behind you. The point is that you've got much more to do than perhaps even you realise, and that although the circle may not seem on the surface to be making the progress that perhaps you'd like, nonetheless it is a focal point, as the word they use, for power, which is generated far beyond your circle confines. Is that the word?
Yes, Nicky, how interesting to believe this.
Oh, yes,
we do believe that.
Yes, and, dear, how interesting. I don't know why they're telling me to tell you this, I wish they'd do it themselves. Oh, cripes. Well, the last incarnation, from what I can make out of it, from what they tell me, must have been in France during the reign of Louis XV.
Oh.
Yes, because there's a very strong link up there with the French court. Mm. Oh, cripes. You have a lot of people come to you, and I'm sure you have no idea. You may, and obviously you do know certain people that come to you.
Yes.
But these, I'm sorry if I give the wrong, I haven't told you. But you see, what is happening with you? You have certain guides or controls, or people who have a certain specific work to do, who really are acting under the agency of higher souls. In other words, there are you see, you're caught up in different groups. And there is a group that work with you, and just group, circle, but behind them are other souls, more highly advanced, and they all work, it's like a sort of fluidic thing, you know, where one in person or group of persons, inspiration and power, enters into those nearer the earth, and it's transmitted. It's on a relay service.
Yes.
I wish I could
explain
it. Well,
I think I see what you mean.
It's
terribly interesting.
You see, you see, the point is that there are certain souls who are the, who are the masters, put it like that.
Yes.
It's not quite the word I want, but who relay their teachings and relay their power and their love through others. It's like a relay system.
Yes.
So that it reaches Earth through other souls who are more able to contact earthly conditions.
Yes.
Which is no reflection on them, but you see, all communication must be, by the very nature of things, but on a relay system. That is, the more highly evolved a person becomes, the higher their teaching, the higher their realization of truth. And that has to be sent down via other souls who act as agents, who are nearer Earth conditions.
Oh, I
and you've got to do a wonderful work yet, which, well, with due respect, you haven't really started. I mean, you've sown the seeds.
Yes.
Sometimes you wonder how much longer you may have to go to do this, but the point is that the seeds are sown, and gradually you'll be shown the path and the way, and there's a lot of writing to be done too. This Jack that comes to you, your brother, isn't it?
Jack?
Oh,
no, we haven't got a
brother, Jack. Now, wait a moment. There's someone here who comes with great brotherly love and affection, and they call him John or Jack. Just a moment. What did you say? Well, I must get this straight, because with Bill, which is your brother, isn't
it? Yes, that's right.
There comes another young man who they refer to as Jack. although he was christened John, he's referred to as Jack, and he passed over in infancy and has grown up over here.
Is he one of the family, would you say?
Oh yes, obviously, he must be. Just a moment.
Yes.
Yes, this is definitely so. But he had hardly any earth life, you might say.
Yes.
But he's referred to as Brother John or Brother Jack. And if he'd have lived, he would have probably been older than either of you.
Yes, I see.
But then again, he had no earth life to speak of. And he's a very advanced soul, and I can quite understand why it's possible you've never had any contact.
Yes. Do you know if he's on mother's side or dad's?
On both.
Oh, I see, even in our own family.
Yes. Oh dear, do you know any place called Swan something? Was it a name for a person? Oh dear, what did you say? I. Yes, I don't understand that now.
Me.
We hear you.
My name is Anderson. Elizabeth Garrett.
Oh,
Anderson.
God bless you, Miss.
I do hope you will not mind my coming just for a few moments, taking up your valuable time.
We're delighted.
But I'm so interested in all that is transpiring in your little group.
Good.
I have very much wanted to come and speak to you for various reasons, but I've always felt there were so many other souls who perhaps really have a much greater claim on you and your time.
Yes.
But nevertheless, I am so interested in your little group and the great work which, quite unbeknown to you, probably, is being done. There is a tremendous amount of power for healing that is generated. And there is a group of us here who come to you at regular intervals who are most anxious that we should be enabled at a later date, if not at the moment, to make more use of that power. Sometimes we bring souls to you in their sleep state, who are sick and ailing,
yes,
for help which can be given by the physical power which is generated, and also souls on this side who are in need of help also. You know, we do feel that if you are, as I'm sure you are, intending to continue indefinitely, this circle of yours will show great expansion in its power and its vitality, psychically and spiritually. You know, if only it were possible for you to see clairvoyantly the number of people that are drawn to your circle. It's just as if when you sit, there is a light that pierces the darkness around and about you. It's the auric emanation, of course, from yourselves as a group that, as it were, welcomes and makes possible the link between so many souls who come and others who are attracted, who perhaps in some instances are bewildered.
Yes.
Because, you know, there are many souls who are earthbound.
Yes.
Now yours is not a rescue circle, but it does not alter the fact that there are many souls who are drawn and attracted and who are helped, because you do give forth a tremendous amount of vitality, I suppose is the word. It's a sort of psychic vitality which is very powerful. Of course they are generating this power, as you know, for the production, they hope, of physical phenomena. Of course this is a unique form of communication and often does, I understand, take many years. But you have now, so it seems from what I gather, got together a group of people whose intensity and sincerity is such that you should eventually, I'm sure, have very strong, powerful communication. Well, one can only hope for these things, but I do want you to know, and I'm sure you do know really, but I feel I must add my little weight to this, that you have got this tremendous power generating all around, which is benefiting many people, quite apart from yourselves and even those whom you know. And there are such a lot of people who are attracted. I myself, of course, am particularly interested in the healing.
Yes.
I suppose that's to be expected.
Of course.
And I go a great deal to my hospital, and there's a whole group of doctors here, you know, who go regularly to not only my own hospital, but to many all hospitals, and try to assist the doctors in their work. Of course, many of the doctors have no conception or idea that they're being used or helped at all. And indeed, one might almost say that perhaps it doesn't matter. There are many people in your world who are not spiritualists and not mediums, yet nevertheless, they are used by souls from this side to do good work in various ways. And of course, we are trying so desperately to help wherever we can. Of course, if everyone understood this truth, as you two do, it would make a vast difference to your world and would no doubt, I'm sure, in no time, bring people together with a greater realization and understanding of God's will. And it would mean a happier world and a peaceful world.
Right.
We only want to break down the barriers that lie between men throughout your world. Barriers built up in foolishness and ignorance. We want people to know and understand this truth so that they shall live together in peace and in harmony and make your world truly a place where children can be brought into an element and condition of peace and understanding, where they can be taught, where they can be given the realization of truth, and truly your world could become a training ground, as indeed it is and should be even more so for the world to come. You are blessed, my dears, so truly blessed with this truth and this knowledge, and it gives us such joy to come to you. Of course, if we could all come, well, it would take hours and hours and hours of time, but we do want you to know, and I speak for all of us here, how much it means to us, how much it really affects us to know that there are such people as yourselves and your little group who in such love and sincerity bind yourself together in this true understanding and realization that you might be of service, and indeed truly you are. Do not get despondent. Be strong in your faith and your knowledge. Be assured that the power of the Holy Spirit is with you and around and about you, and truly you are blessed and guided. Oh, it gives me such joy to come and talk to you, to know that you have this intensity of love and feeling, that you want to serve and you do serve. And if only I could impress upon you the tremendous love and vitality that flows from our side to you. I'm sure you know of it, but if only you knew how it passes through to others, through you, and giving them some measure of truth and insight. Carry on this work, my friends. Know that you are indeed truly blessed. And I must not take up too much valuable time, but from all of us here, the unknown often, who cannot perhaps for various reasons manifest or speak, I speak particularly for them, because I know how their love is for you, to carry on, to have faith, which I know will never diminish, but only grow in strength, yes. To know that you are truly helped, guided, guarded, and blessed, and that whatever you endeavor, truly you shall be given the strength to fulfill all those dreams and desires that you have in your innermost hearts. To serve is truly to live, and this is the greatest joy of all, to give oneself in loving service to others, that they may see and know truly of the things that are and shall so ever remain. This is the reality, this great glorious existence called death, this gateway that opens up before all mankind, is the gateway of life. You know of this. Give forth the great tidings of joy to all that you meet, and bless you both with all that you endeavor. Peace and love be with you, my friends. Goodbye.
Bless you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
What a lovely spirit.
What a beautiful
spirit.
What a lovely soul.
Oh. I've listened to our sister.
Yes.
And she has said all that I could have said. And perhaps in a sense my coming to speak seems in consequence rather pointless. I can only endorse everything that she has endeavored to convey to you. Truly it is a great joy, O sisters of earth, to come to you. Truly it is a great joy to be of service, to give knowledge and strength to those in your world who are unsure and uncertain, to give comfort to those who mourn, and give strength unto those who are weak in their faith. Truly, my friends, it is for us the greatest of joys to break down the barrier that lies between our world and yours, a barrier built up through centuries of ignorance and foolishness. Man seems to have lost the path, but we who come knocking, as it were, the doors of the hearts and minds of men are endeavoring to break down these barriers. You have seen that light that shines forth in the darkness. Truly are you blessed. When I was on your side, I did not have the knowledge and the truth that you had, but nevertheless, I had an inner awareness. I had no personal knowledge or experience such as you have been blessed with, but in my own way and in my own fashion, I endeavored to be of service, endeavored to do that which I thought was right, and I think I can say that in some measure I succeeded. But if only I'd have had the knowledge and the assurance that you had, it would have been a great joy and blessing to me. I look back on those dim, dark times of which I speak. Truly the world has changed, in some respects, of course, for the better. But there are many things today which grieve us, but nevertheless, in the age of which I speak, there were many things that caused great concern, especially to such as myself, who were overwhelmed with the poverty of the day and the age of which I speak. Of course, one could not do always what one would wish, but I did my part as best I could. And I now sometimes drop in, as you say, in your modern parlance, to your little sessions, your little meetings. Yes. And it's a great joy to me, as it is to so many of us, to see such loving devotion and such faith rewarded. And indeed you are rewarded. You are rewarded in many respects, and yet you do not seek for reward.
No.
And nevertheless, the possibility of the development of the circle, as you call it, as a whole, means that as you develop further, so you can help more and more people by your personal experience and knowledge.
Yeah.
And this is a great thing in itself and a great joy. Of course, centuries ago, the world had some knowledge of this, but it became hidden with time by the power and the avarice and the greed of peoples oft-times in high places. It was deliberately obscured, but this is a long history of which I'm sure you know much. You know, it's a great happiness to us to find such souls as yourselves who are prepared to give your love and your time My name, I'm so sorry, I did not mean it. I'm Shaftesbury.
Oh, how wonderful. I thought you were.
Yes, of course. If I were to tell you that the souls that come to you, I think, well, I don't think you'd be surprised. Of course, you naturally, as you've already been told, there are many who come, perhaps not regularly, but we know of your little group on this side, and we discuss it, and sometimes we come and see you. Of course, you have your own little regular friends who are in constant attention upon you, who look after you, who guard you, prevent bad influences, as sometimes, as you don't know, can be around. After all, we must remember, and I'm sure you do, there are all manner of peoples on this side, good, bad, and indifferent.
Yes.
And of course, I wouldn't dare to suggest that anyone is perfect. There are numbers on this side, no matter how spiritually advanced and progressed, would ever dare to say that we are perfect. And perhaps that's as well, because if we were perfect, well, there wouldn't be much left to live for, to strive for. There's always the new venture, the new possibility of experience, as it were, around the corner. But that is the great joy of life, that there is always something new to learn, something extraordinary may yet happen, of which one has had no previous inkling. This is the great joy of eternal life, which makes it possible to be eternal, that always we are striving ever upwards towards the night for more experience and more opportunity of service. This is the joy of union of souls. Oh, my goodness me, if it were possible in words to explain and express and describe the joys and the beauty of spirit, how we could take away that terrible fear of death that hangs over the world of flesh, when we see the souls in your world, heavy laden as so often they are, in the dark as it were as regards truth and enlightenment, afraid of death, trying to put it off in many cases, trying to put it as it were behind them as if it didn't exist at all, instead of facing it with smiling, joyous, happy faces, as a realization that it is a release to a great extent for many of the problems of earth. But of course I would not have you believe, and I don't think anyone from this side would have you think for one moment that there cannot be problems here. We know there are some souls who perhaps misguided may give the impression that once you have passed beyond the gateway of death that everything, as it were, is going to be wonderful. Well, in a sense that is true, because all life in all its varying forms here is wonderful, but of course there are problems. There is the problem of change, the problem of change within oneself, the new learning that one has to experience, the shedding, as it were, of old thoughts and outworn creeds and dogmas and ideas, things that clutter up one's consciousness and affects one's progress. And of course there are many things in the human heart which have to be rectified. I mean, for instance, no one, I should imagine, if they're human at all, can come here without looking back upon the earthly existence, without certain regrets in regard to perhaps their attitude of mind or their action, as far perhaps as certain members of their family or friends are concerned. We all make mistakes, and of course we have heartache in regard to where we have failed, but these things pass quickly, and this is a world of loving and forgiving. This is a world of understanding and reaching out for greater experience and greater understanding, and so we gradually throw away, as it were, the worser self, and we climb, in a sense, towards the light with newer knowledge and newer experience, and we shed all the worser self. And this is the joy, from sphere to sphere, from plane to plane, from experience to experience, from knowledge to greater knowledge and greater realization. And so it is that we are, as it were, though on various levels of consciousness, all part of the great whole. This is the joy, that we are all brothers and sisters, willing to guide and to help each other, willing to uplift where possible, doing all in our power, learning to be patient, as indeed often we must be, particularly when we come down to earth and we see the travesty of life, and it is a travesty. There's so much that is good in all, and there's so much that we want to take away that is not good. We want to show people truth, give them strength that they may tread the path of light, that they may tread the path of illumination, that they may, as it were, cast aside the burdens of materialism, that they may see true value and appreciate it and make it possible to grow and expand mentally and spiritually while yet in flesh, so that the world can be changed and truly there can be brotherhood among men and peace. This is our great desire, that we may take from man that worse path, that he may see that truth and that light that will illuminate him through his experience, that he may indeed, when the time comes to shed the physical and material, he can stand, as it were, free and ennobled, without any fears or doubts, full of strength and light, that he may go forward to greater truths and greater knowledge and greater experience. Truly, when I come and speak, as I do to people like you, it's a great joy, and the greater joy still is to know that in this modern age you have such machines that can make possible the voice of such as myself to be heard by thousands of people throughout the whole of your world, that by this remarkable machine and achievement in scientific research you can make possible what I say to you in private, or others may say in private. Others on your side can listen just as if they were in the room with you. This is a great step forward, is it not? Indeed, it is a wonderful thing, and to think that we can reach thousands of peoples who, if they are prepared to sit and to listen and to learn, can learn and know of truth more and more, that they can partake as you partake in this conversation. This is a great achievement, is it not?
It is.
Truly, my sisters, it is a great joy to come. If only we, you know, I'm told that you come occasionally like this, and we can perhaps bring all sorts of interesting people who can come and talk to you, and knowing you, you will give others the opportunity of listening. This is a great step forward. I am so happy and overjoyed about it. Well, I must go, otherwise I should take too much of your valuable. This is such a wonderful opportunity. One can't resist it, you know.
No,
anyway, bless you both and your little group. Peace be unto you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Extraordinary setting, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Sort of, you didn't get the people.